where reasonable people cannot differ is that when Mrs. Thatcher says that no news of the Peruvian proposals reached London until 3 hours after the Belgrano was sunk, or more precisely, in answer to the Shadow Cabinet, written on behalf of the Shadow Cabinet by Denzel Davis, the spokesman, she said, the first indications of the Peruvian proposals reached London at 11:15 p.m. Sunday, 2nd of May. That is not true. Michael Harbottle used the word sabotage. I haven't used that particular word before, but I think it is a very apt description of the situation. Now, you asked me some precise questions. First of all, about the Belgrano itself. Though from the 2nd of April, I had opposed the sending of the task force, as you said in your introduction, on the 3rd of April, had pleaded to speak, to put a dissenter's point of view, but Mr. Speaker George Thomas, to his eternal discredit, would have none of it. Not because he didn't call Tambiel, but because he didn't call any of the more vociferous dissenters. And we now know from his memoirs why. Because he took a view of the national interest that the Prime Minister had to be supported. The memoirs of George Thomas really are very revealing. On the 4th of April, I made a statement fully carried in the heavy newspapers that the sending of the task force was the most ill-conceived expedition to leave these shores since the Duke of Buckingham had left for La Rochelle in 1627, and daily opposed the sending of the task force. However, I ought to tell the panel that I did not criticize the sinking of the Belgrano on the 4th of May. It happened on the 2nd of May. On the 4th of May, the House of Commons had its first opportunity. And I asked whether it was done with the authority of the Prime Minister. Yes, came the answer, full political control. And because war is very nasty, and because, like my colleagues, I believe the explanation that John Knott had given, that this was some submarine commander acting fast to protect the task force, because after all, the Belgrano was converging with the world on the task force, that war is very unpleasant, but this was the protection of British servicemen. And that was what I accepted as gospel until July 1982, when I read on page 7, it was, of the Scotsman newspaper, an artless article by a reputable journalist, Eric McKenzie, who'd been sent to welcome home the conqueror to Faz Lay, and had asked a question that flowed logically from what Knott had said in the comments. Why, Commander Rufford Brown, did you sink the Belgrano? And his answer was very revealing. Oh, he said, I didn't sink the Belgrano off my own bat. I wouldn't do a thing like that. I'm a first-time submarine commander. I did it, he said, on orders from Northwood. Now, this was totally different. What Parliament, press, and people had been told. And I put it to the panel, it's the old question of small inconsistencies being part of larger inconsistencies. Small lies being part of larger lies. Now, if in August or September or October 1982, the government had made anything like a clean breast and said, look, we had to enter into some deception, which is war, the real position is. Instead of it, we got a whole series of false statements that they had to do it because of the Birdwood Bank, And when I went to the briefing of the Ministry of Defence, Sir Sandy Woodward said, well, we had to do it urgently because, and this was the answer to parliamentary questions, because otherwise we'd have lost the Belgrano in going over the Birdwood Bank. Now, when one looked at the coordinates, she'd been and was going and was known to be going nowhere near the Birdwood Bank. Anyhow, these waters are well charted. Average depth of the Birdwood Bank, 90 fathoms. Minimum depth, 25 fathoms. These SSNs are built with the capacity to operate in the Baltic, which is a shallow sea. And it just, to anybody who knew the details,